start up your Monday. Start up your work week right here on B&E. 19 October, a lot going on. No Longhorn game to discuss. We'll certainly talk about the week to come. Tom Herman news conference at noon today. Baylor, Saturday, 2:30, and it does look like that game will be a go. We'll get you details on the COVID situation in Waco. Also, no Cowboys game to discuss from yesterday because they play tonight, Monday Night Football. Part of a doubleheader of Monday Night Football this evening. One at 4 o'clock, Bills Chiefs. Then the Cowboys and Cardinals tonight, right here on the Horn. You'll hear it live with the Cowboys Radio Network right after our BKD this afternoon. So a busy Monday here on the Horn, live and local all day. Tom Herman News Conference at noon, Cowboys football tonight. And certainly plenty of conversation this morning, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend. We mentioned the B&E fact of the day. History made yesterday in Tennessee. Titans beat the Texans 42-36. People in Houston are wondering, can they fire two coaches in 1 year? Or we're already getting that question. Did the Texans fire two coaches after Romeo Crennel inexplicably went for two after scoring a touchdown late in the game to take a six-point lead instead of actually a seven-point lead instead of kicking the extra point to go up eight, went for two to try to go up nine, and they end up losing the game in overtime. His defense was terrible. But here it is. So Ryan Tannehill threw for over 300 yards and four touchdowns. Derrick Henry rushed for over 200 yards and two touchdowns in the same game. It's only the second time in the history of the National Football League that has happened where a quarterback has a game like that, 300 yards and four touchdowns, and a running back goes for two Bills and two scores. Can you hazard a guess, Buck, who the other pair of teammates who did that were and was?
Mercury Morris and Dan Marino and O.J. Simpson.
No.
And I don't know who the quarterback
was. They never all played
been.
Together.
Okay, I don't know who the quarterback would have been.
Dan Marino never played with Mercury Morris. That would have been Bob Greasy.
Oh, it would have been back that far? Yeah, Larry Zonka and O.J. Simpson.
Now, the answer would be Super Bowl 22, Doug Williams throwing for 340 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah, that's damn near back there.
And Timmy Smith running for 204 yards and two touchdowns.
Nobody even remembers who Timmy Smith was.
Timmy Smith out of nowhere in the Super Bowl. Remember that, Doug Williams?
Yes.
Joe Gibbs? That's the last time a pair of teammates had games like they had against the Texans yesterday.
I'm dang near close to Dan Marino.
You were close. You were back in the same same era. Yeah, that's how bad the Houston defense was yesterday. Not only could they not stop the run, you got to go in trying to stop something, don't you?
Man, I'd be pulling that tail on the back of his hair. There's that thing coming out of there, that little thing that looks like a dinosaur bone that comes out of the back of his head. There's no way I'm letting that big guy. That guy was trampling people.
And they wanted no part of him in overtime.
No. Or any other time.
I'll ask this on that.
Guy to take down.
Look, the Texans are wretched, right? Their defense is bad. There's word of a sell-off that they're about to trade a bunch of people before the deadline, which is 2 weeks from tomorrow, to try to acquire some draft picks to get out of their cap situation, and they fired their coach. But like you can't go into a game and let the quarterback roast you and the running back. I mean, can you stop something? But let me ask you about Tennessee. Do you think you believe Tennessee is legitimate contender in the AFC? We'll see the Chiefs and Bills tonight, who are both certainly contenders in the AFC. We know Pittsburgh, who flattened Cleveland yesterday. Baker Mayfield got benched by their head coach Kevin Stefanski after he threw two picks and looked terrible. Steelers, I mean, that was the easiest win of the day yesterday, was Pittsburgh. But where do you put Tennessee in this hierarchy of the AFC right now?
I don't like the way they play against the run, Tennessee. I don't like their run defense. But the way they run the ball, it just wears you out by the fourth quarter.
I know.
It looks like teams are done. But they can't stop the run themselves, Tennessee. They're not great against the run.
Well, it was more Deshaun Watson, their pass defense. I mean, it wasn't like David Johnson was running up and down the field yesterday. It was really Deshaun Watson creating big plays. I mean, they were up 21-7. Houston blocked a field goal because Tennessee was going up 24-7. They block a field goal, and the game turned on that. And then, of course, Deshaun Watson starts hitting Brandon Cooks all over the field, throwing the ball.
And the tight end.
Yeah, and the Darren Fells, the tight end, who, by the way, according to Jason Lock on Four, could be part of that trade sell-off.
Yeah, that would be somebody be interested in.
Well, that's
him.
The word, is that Houston's going to put it out there to the rest of the league. Look, what do you want? We're having a garage sale. You want Whitney Merciless? Okay, give us a third-round pick. You want Darren Fells for your stretch run because you need a big tight end? Okay, what are you going to give us? That Houston's ready to sell off everything but Deshaun Watson, Laremy Tunsil, and, you know, maybe J.J. Watt would be unavailable at this point because he's such an icon in the city. But I would say if you're a Houston fan, everyone's touchable except for 4 and 78.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them, make your best offer. and move forward. I mean, Bradley Roby, the corner, who's playing at a pretty high level, even though he gave up the touchdown that turned out to be the game winner, or the game, you know, the forced overtime in that game yesterday. But, so we'll talk Texans, we'll talk Cowboys, we'll talk Longhorns, of course, coming up. First, let's get you the trending topics, news of your Monday morning. UEO Business Services brings it to you. Yeah, trending topics on this Monday. How about Major League Baseball? The World Series is set. And yes, it was a long, strange trip for both the Rays and Dodgers, but the two best teams in 2020 in the regular season will meet in the Fall Classic, Tampa Bay and L.A. Both won Game 7s over the weekend. Rays ended the Astros season. Of course, Rays up 3-0. Astros came back to force Game 7 with three straight wins, but the Rays took Game 7 Saturday night 4-2. Big Charlie Morton, six shutout innings. Tremendous on the hill for the Rays in that game as the Rays got to Lance McCullers early and hold on for the 4-2 victory. Then in Arlington last night, Dodgers finish off their rally from 3-1 down to the Atlanta Braves to claim the National League Championship for the third time in four seasons. Cody Bellinger played the role of hero here. It was 3-3 seventh inning.
Eighth pitch has been the magic one tonight. This time he hits the ball to deep right field. Cody Bellinger has done it! And the Dodgers lead in Game 7.
There was. Game 7 yet broke the tie, and then Julio Urias was brilliant. How about the final nine outs? No, three no-hit innings out of the L.A. bullpen to close things out. They get the victory. They face three straight elimination games. Get all three victories. They advance to the World Series, which will begin tomorrow night in Arlington, Rays Dodgers. College football, Texas Longhorns coming off their bye week. It does appear that the Horns game with Baylor this coming Saturday is, quote, on track to be played. That according to Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports. Matter of fact, Baylor did practice yesterday for the head coach Dave Aranda. Of course, they had to pause and miss their game on Saturday with Oklahoma State because of COVID-19 issues. They've only played two games this season. Their game with Louisiana Tech earlier this year was postponed because of COVID on the La Tech side. Their game with Houston, the Cougars, also postponed back in September because of Baylor's issues. So they've had three games postponed. They will, looks like, play coming up Saturday, 2:30. Of course, we'll have Tom Herman's Game Week News Conference coming up live here on the Horn at noon today. Right here on the Horn. The NFL, Houston Texans, as we mentioned, fell to 1-4 on the year, 42-36 overtime loss to Tennessee as they rallied but then lose in OT. Other NFL finals yesterday, biggest surprise, Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing Green Bay. Green Bay undefeated. Buccaneers or Packers score the first 10 points, go up 10-0. Then Tom Brady and the Bucs outscore the Pack 38-0 and win it 38-10. Pretty impressive victory there. Chicago Bears are 5-1. They beat Carolina 23-16. Pittsburgh Steelers undefeated. They crushed the Cleveland Browns 38-7. Also had the New York Giants picking up their first win of the year. They beat Washington 20-19. New England loses to Denver at home 18-12. And how about the game last night? Sunday Night Football, San Francisco, banged up as they are, beat the LA Rams 24-16.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
You know, the more you look at Alabama football and when they play the games, like when they're playing key games like Georgia, the longer the game seemed. Like, you got to play four quarters, but the game seems so long because you're waiting for Alabama to make this run. If you're up by 7 or 8 on them, they're going to get you. It's the middle of the fourth quarter, but you've left 8 minutes on the clock, and they can strike fast or they can get a turnover fast. And then I find myself looking at their players on the sideline, and they look like an NFL team, like guys that aren't playing in the game, that are just standing around. Looks like dudes that could be on your team playing for you. That is quite a football team.
Well, it's a machine, right? And I think it's not a – they and Clemson are so far and away better than everyone else. And it's probably not a good thing for college football that those two teams are so dominant, but they're on a collision course to play again. We know that. I mean, there's nobody in the ACC that can play with Clemson. Clemson beat Georgia Tech 73-7. Alabama's stiffest test was Saturday with Georgia. They'll probably play Georgia again, and you got to play out the season. But you're right. They're just so talented. I mean, we know both schools recruit at such a high level. And then the development of those players and just the culture within the programs is, you know, there was no panic in Alabama when they were down at halftime. There's no fear.
I mean, do you see the stuff that's taught to them, the skill receivers that catch the ball with their hands? They reach out and snag balls out of they don't jump in the air and let a ball hit them in the chest. They reach out and they come back to the football. It's like watching really, really good, talented receivers that do all the fundamentals of the game.
It's the total package at both places, right? It's great recruiting, which, you know, Tom Herman's recruited great. When we told you the 24/7 story, 24/7 composite, Texas the fifth most talented team in the country based on recruiting. But the top two teams in the country, or two of the top three, are Clemson and Alabama. Georgia's in that mix too. But it's the recruitment of great players, but then the development of great players to make them greater, right? So there's this. Great players go there and get better.
Yes.
Great players come here, or potentially great players come here and get worse, to the Texas point. But when you watch it at Alabama or Clemson on Saturday, when the Longhorns aren't playing, you say, you know what? That's development. That's the total package. That's great coaching meets great recruiting. Culture is in place.
So many good fundamentals when you watch them play.
It's fun to watch. And guess what? Unfortunately, if you're Texas, you're watching a similar thing happen down at Texas A&M, where the Aggies have recruited well. And Jimbo Fisher is beginning to develop players and develop an identity. Their offensive line was phenomenal on Saturday. Their running back, Spiller, is emerging. You know, Kellen Mond's not great. Kellen Mond's just a pretty good player.
Yes.
But it's such a different level.
As long as he doesn't get you beat, which he can at times.
Which he will. And I think you got to coach around Kellen Mond sometimes. I think that's a fair statement. But, man, it's to watch Alabama play, I mean, the lack of – I mean, Georgia's really good. We know Georgia.
Oh, my goodness.
But there's just the attention to detail, the fundamentals, and just swagger is probably the wrong word. There's just a confidence. There was never any panic.
And I just now, all of a sudden, I don't think that Clemson-Notre Dame game is going to be as big as I thought it was going to be.
Clemson and Alabama are just, they are separate from everyone else. I think that's not even high, but it's been the case for the last 5 years, right?
And we'll get to see the Buckeyes this week.
Yeah, you'll see Ohio State this week, and I think people think Ohio State can be that good and that kind of talent, and those three programs, and you throw Georgia in there.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly Clemson and Alabama have just separated with Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban, and you know, everyone's chasing that, and that it's, you know, they're hard to beat.
And we don't get to see that here. We're talking about three or four players on offense here, which is. But still, you don't find ways to help your players. You run the same. You trot the same offense out. You trot the same people out. You don't run misdirection today's age is about using your speed, using misdirection, because all the players are really, really good. They're all fast. Even in a bad conference like the Big 12, if you continue to run the same thing week in, week out, the guys on the other side aren't that dumb. Yeah. They're just not. The other coaches on the other side, you know, if you think you have a power football team and you're going to continue to kind of run power plays. When you don't, you have a finesse offensive line. If you're, it's okay to vacate guys and pull them and let them run, because at the point of attack, they don't block well at the point of attack. So let them run. Go ahead and take a tight end and let him fill for a guy who can pull and maybe run a little bit better. At least give your running back some two-way goes where you're not just off tackle and your guys get smushed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't understand that. You're in week five. You didn't do anything against Oklahoma. But I do understand. I understand now this is Tom Herman's deal. This isn't Mike Yurcich. When I see Mike Yurcich make a call, seems to be guys that are wide open. When I see Tom Herman make calls, do this offense, it's the same thing I've seen for over the last couple of years. There's nothing innovative about it. But for some odd reason, when there's something really special that happens, I'm thinking, I think that's the other guy's call. You know what I mean? Like the Keontae Ingram out of the backfield. It's week in, week out. It hasn't changed, but as I said, you still have to play the games. And if you're going to continue to trot this same offense out here, good luck, even against bad teams.
Speaking of Tom Herman and the Longhorns, let's dive into our Coach's Corner here on a Monday.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
Brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. And yeah, Longhorns back at it Saturday, 2:30. It does look like Baylor, at this point, is good to go. On track, as Yahoo Sports reported, they did practice yesterday with their first on-field activity in more than a week, which is good to see because they've only played two games so far this year because of COVID issues, almost like Baylor not taking the whole COVID thing seriously.
Yeah. Something's going on there.
What in the heck is happening?
I don't know.
How are some schools ever to handle it and have no issues? And they've had three games canceled already.
Yep.
This year.
And I'm going to – I tell you, I was just starting to – when I said – looking at Jordan Whittington, he looks like one of those players that could play at some of the schools that we're talking about. And I thought this would be the game that they would use him and really get him going, because they have to get somebody else besides Sam Ehlinger going in a football game. They can't have one guy offensively and the rest of the guys don't get a chance to get going, whether it's substitutions or whatever. You've got a running back now that should be pretty healthy after 2 weeks, so you should see – Bijan, Rob, you should see that kid should be playing, and he should be playing a lot of downs, a lot of snaps. So I don't know. I don't know what you're going to see, but you should be able to see that. And that's a damn shame for Jordan Whittington, because now it's not, it's just, it's more than bad luck. There's something going on if it's that same injury again.
Yeah, and that's the news this morning, is that the redshirt freshman receiver Jordan Whittington,
because he's gone to see great doctors. He's gone all over the country, right?
Yeah.
He was in Philly last year.
And he lost Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Has he's going to be out sometime, according to reports, orangebloods.com and 24/7 sports reporting. He's going to be out with an abdominal soft tissue injury.
Seems like they may be going back in there again, and that's...
Well, we'll hear from Tom Herman today with the latest on that. But, yeah, Jordan Whittington, who is just seemingly coming on and just can't stay on the field at this point. It does feel like it's almost like a Jordan Shipley. His name's Jordan Whittington. Jordan Shipley back in the day, if you remember that, when he was out of Burnett. And he was, you know, much ballyhooed, and when he was on the field, he was great, but then he just couldn't. But Jordan ended up becoming one of the best players in the program's history. But it took a while, right?
Yeah, and Jake Smith's got to be healthy by now. I mean, we think he's going to show up at Oklahoma or get hurt before the game starts. Hopefully that guy's ready to go.
Yeah,
it's been 2 weeks.
Early 10.5-point favorite in that game over Baylor. And it's hard to get a read on Baylor because they've only played two games. I mean, you don't have much to go on.
Yep.
Of what they are, and we'll certainly drill down on the Bears as we move forward and keep an eye on the COVID situation in Waco and the Longhorn situation. I mean, it's kind of, I don't say must listen, but what, you know, Tom Herman's news conference at noon today, you expect some clarity, something revealing on the eyes thing from last week with the mixed messages and the reports that came out that, you know, what's going on, who's leading, who's in charge of this program. Did Chris Del Conte make his wishes clear then Tom Herman didn't hear it or didn't execute what the boss wanted? I mean, those questions will be asked today. They have to be, and they have to be answered of where the program is. And you know, I was thinking about this over the weekend, talking to a lot of folks about the state of the Texas program. I mean, as I've said, you know, I've been doing this since the late 90s, and the tenor around Longhorn Nation and the Longhorn fan base right now is as toxic as I can ever remember it. As negative as I can ever remember. People are not just frustrated with bad football. They're mad. They're angry about the leadership and the lack of it. And the one thing I heard a lot over the weekend, Buck, talking to a lot of different people, is they don't think Chris Del Conte or Tom Herman understand Texas. They think they're to the point where they feel like they're both outsiders. Like, for a lot of folks I talk to who have been Longhorn fans forever, right, their whole lives and donated a lot of money to the program, that the whole vision of Sam Ellinger on the field by himself last at the Cotton Bowl, which has been much talked about and much the viral picture, for a lot of folks, that's where Texas is right now. There's one person who kind of gets it, where Texas fans are, and it's Sam Ellinger. And the others that are in leadership are not understanding how mad people are and frustrated people are that, guys, this is Texas football, and who's in charge of this thing? Why? How is this thing dissolving like an Alka-Seltzer tablet, and who's going to fix it? You know what I mean? People want that answer, and I don't know if Tom Herman's going to give that today, probably not, or Chris Del Conte this week, but there is a venom to it that I don't know. I have not seen. I've not been experienced here. You coach there, and you were there maybe the last time it was this toxic with the fan base and a coach, and you talked about John Makovic, who hired you and you worked for a long time. He wanted to change traditions. He wanted to change things at Texas.
Oh, we had discussions about that. Coach, leave it alone. That this isn't for you to change. This is for you to embrace. And some of it you can get away with it, but I remember John talking about the helmet. I was going, you'll never get away with that one. That's not going to happen. You're not changing
that. Well, what is it you say about players?
Longhorn on the side of the
house. Right. Like, well, what is it you say about players? They don't know how much you – what is it?
They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's right.
They don't give a rat's ass what you know.
That bumper sticker. They don't know how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yes.
There are a lot of people who support Texas and have supported Texas for their entire lives who aren't sure if Tom Herman and Chris Del Conte care enough about the things they care about. Like, I don't care how much you know, Tom. I don't care how much football you know. Do you care? Do you care about what matters to us?
Correct.
And whether it's old school thinking or the right way or the wrong way, you can't change things unless you've connected with the people. You know what I mean? You can't.
No, you have to be able to sit back with the people, because if some of the things are wrong, it's wrong. So there's nothing wrong with being able to talk to the people.
But
and say,
no
I think
no one's
I,
expressing that.
No,
from
no.
From a leadership perspective.
No. Everybody's wondering, so did he say that, or what are we supposed to do with that? if you're going to make change about things, you have to be able to sit down with those very same people and talk to those people and say, this is what we want to do. How do we do
lead?
How do we do this with you? How do we make this so that whether it's the eyes of Texas or what do you need to see of our players? And Tom Herman should understand that, you can't walk out. You can't. Players just can't leave. And I don't understand why that message wasn't brought about between he and Chris Del Conte. I don't know where the disconnect was from TCU to the next game.
Right.
If it happened at the TCU game, then Chris Del Conte should have been in the locker room after that. I know he's got stuff going on with his wife and stuff, but his job is to make sure that the Texas program, he's the athletic program, the director over all the programs. If that happened at the TCU game, somebody had told him that,
right,
and he should have been in the locker room right after that loss. Tom Herman should have talked first, but he should have got up there and talked second and said, guys, we cannot do this.
And as one longtime supporter told me on Saturday when we were just chatting about this, because we were talking about, I said, well, you know, they didn't have a band. They weren't sure when the eyes was going to be played.
It's too much uncertainty
and
here.
And he said to me, well, how did Sam know?
Well, see, that's the thing.
Right. Why was Sam front and center and a couple other people?
But who's separate?
Well, you know why, though? In his answer to me, which I didn't answer, he said, because he cares. Sam cares. Sam was going to be there for the eyes because he cares about Texas.
There's no doubt about that.
But the impression is the others maybe don't as much as they should.
I don't think that's. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know. I know there's a leadership role that somebody should have taken, and that's still, to me, that's on the head coach.
You're right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I do think they care.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is the perception is that they don't, and no one is saying anything or doing anything to lead the way to change that opinion. I think it's wrong, but at the same time, that's the perception, that Sam Ehlinger is kind of risen above even the leadership for speaking for the fans, and he's only doing it because that's what he believes. That's what he knows. That's what 11 knows. 11 knows that that's where you do. You go the others, and again, I don't want to separate Sam from the rest, but I'm talking about the lack of leadership from the top. Who's going to step forward? And because, look, you and I have done this long enough to know. When Texas was great, they had an AD and a coach who were completely united. Like, Mack Brown and Tom and DeLoss Dodds were united in their effort to take Texas football, and it was a powerful, powerful combination. DeLoss handling the fundraising and the big money and Mack doing his part and coaching the football team. When was the last time Texas was united from the AD to the coach? Like it needs to be to work at Texas. Texas is a tough place. You've been there.
Mm-hmm.
If the coach and the AD are not on the same page,
well,
and
that's not going to work because those two are the most powerful people in the state.
Well,
when that happens,
and that's what you have to have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If they're not on the same page, then good luck with that. Especially if you're losing.
Yeah.
Now, if you're the head coach and you're winning games and you're going to national championships and winning conference championships, okay, there will be some friction there, but you're winning.
Right.
But you're losing, and you're not developing players, and you're asking for more seats in the stands and more suites in the stands. That's just not gonna work. And I don't know what happened at TCU. Did Sam Ehlinger stay there for TCU game? When everybody, did they decide to leave as a group and one guy stayed? There are a lot of things going on here.
Sure.
That I don't understand.
Well, and I think the eyes of Texas is just, for me, talking to a lot of folks, is just symbolic of the whole thing. That there seems to be a fracture. And is it between the coach and the AD?
Or is there a fracture between the players and the quarterback
that's
now?
It's a fair question.
Is Sam Ehlinger separated from the football players themselves that have to play with him?
Well, I would just say at noon today, Tom Herman can't just do the blah, blah, blah thing.
Oh, there he's going to go blah, blah, okay. Blah, 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 blah. That's coming.
Well, someone needs to lead.
What are they going to do? They're going to take his mic from him. He's going to come up with something that is, you know, he's going to go say a couple things at injury. He's going to take questions. He's not going to answer the questions that you want to do. He's going to have these long, drawn-out blah, 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 so that you get disinterested and you don't care what he says. He's not going to come right to the point.
Well,
you know, last week he tried to come to the point with an already written message that was like, uh-oh, that didn't work out real well either after the following week.
Well, and then that message was questioned later in the week.
Yes, it was. So don't come with a written statement.
Right. We will discuss it, and we'll obviously get into the Baylor game as the week goes on, but obviously the bigger picture conversation about Texas. The good, bad, and ugly from the weekend. Cowboys tonight, Monday Night Football, Cowboys-Cardinals. You'll hear it right here on the Horn. Tom Herman News Conference at noon. It's a busy Monday on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
B&E.
Hope you had a great weekend. Glad you're with us to start your work week. It's a Monday on B&E. Good, bad, and ugly from the weekend. No Longhorn game Saturday. No Cowboys game yesterday. Cowboys play tonight. Monday Night Football. Arizona Cardinals. How about a 4 o'clock kick today? You got a 4 o'clock game.
It's okay.
Get off a little early. And it's a good one. Chiefs and Bills. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes.
Both coming off of losses.
Both coming off losses. A little chip on the shoulder. And here we go. We got 4 o'clock and then 7 o'clock. And I was reading some stuff that why would they play this game? And, you know, this is like a 2 o'clock kick on the West Coast. I mean, to me, it's to avoid messing with the Cowboys, because the Cowboys are always the biggest TV draw for the NFL. They know that. I mean, whether they're good or not, people tune in to watch the Cowboys play football. And you don't want to segregate your offense, or your audience, I should say, because you got to choose a game or one. So they're going to play one at 4. It'll be over. And then the Cowboys will start about 7:25 tonight or just after that with the Monday Night Football doubleheader. And you'll hear the second game, the Cowboys and Cardinals, here on the horn with Kyler Murray back at AT&T Stadium.
Awesome.
5-0 lifetime in that building as a high school and a college player, including a win over the Longhorns, if memory serves, in a Big 12 championship game. Am I right about that? I think so. I think I was at that game a couple Decembers ago.
You know, the team is going to have to do some things, as I said, some different things. But I think what people are also seeing is the fact that Tom Herman got 7 new coaches and probably should have picked up another 2 while he was out there. For sure, there's no doubt about
that. He was the problem from the beginning.
And that's a problem. I mean, the offensive line play, when you, in your mind, when you thought that was good and you've been practicing, that just shows you that the people you've been practicing against aren't that good either. So when you think your practices are great and your offensive line is going to be one of your strong points, and then we all see what they're like when they get out there in game day, that's one of the most important parts of your team.
Yeah, it's really sloppy football consistently. Yeah. We know that. And here's a text that kind of, you know, maybe I'm being vague on this leadership thing with Texas right now, but this kind of sums up where I'm at, where I think the Texas fan base is. Jason Texas says, guys, it was the saddest, loneliest image I've ever seen at the Cotton Bowl, a senior quarterback singing his school song with no band, a few loyal fans after a crushing loss. I'll never get that out of my head. And, maybe that gets old to talk about Sam and that image, but I think that's where the program is. The fans are. Like, seriously, they want – and when so last week – you heard Tom Herman on Monday, but you really heard nothing from anyone within the program after that because it was a bye week. And what you had was conflicting reports and insider reports. And on early in the week, people, you know, pointing kind of fingers at Chris Del Conte as, you know, Chris was not leading on this. Then by middle of the week, Chris Del Conte gets his message out through the media that, oh, no, the coaches all knew, everyone understood. Well, you can't do this through insider sources, in my opinion. At some point, Chris Del Conte has to step forward and say, guys, here's the deal. Like, be real specific with people. To the vision of the Sam thing at the Cotton Bowl, that's kind of where fans are right now. Like, they want to understand what is going on. And is there a rift? Is there not? Who's going to step forward? And because if it's the same stuff on Monday with Tom Herman and we go through a normal game week, I don't know. Maybe I'm expecting something that's not going to happen. They're just such a frustration within the fan base, and no one is saying anything to quell it or to even attempt to tamp it down.
Right, there's nothing to quell when you see it. It's right there in your face. There's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing you can do except for now you got to play a football
but
game.
Be honest with people. Like, say, guys, here's the deal. This is how it's going to be, or this will never happen again, or something from somebody in a leadership position that says, we appreciate the fans. Here's the situation.
Well, I got to believe that Chris Del Conte, after the double bird deal, shooting a finger at a camera, said to Tom Herman, this is about it. You need to grow up and you need to be a football coach. And now we're looking at a situation where he's still not leading. So what are you going to do? And my thoughts are, what do you do? If you've got somebody that's not able to lead, although you can still win some games, do you sit around and wait till the end of the season? Do you let something just linger here? Or do you make some decisions? Do you make some hardcore decisions? Who's going to be the assistant head coach, who's now needs to be the head coach? Or do you leave a guy here just to sit and have everybody pissed? I don't know what you do because everybody's pissed.
Well, I'm sure, look, knowing you and coaches, you go back to work, you get ready for the next game.
Well, I know what they're going to do.
Yeah, you do go about your business. But,
I'm not talking about the coach.
Right.
I know what he's going to do. He's going to go back and give you the same old thing, and we're doing this week, and, man, we looked good on a Sunday when we play on a Saturday. He's going to give you the same old thing. But the people in charge, what are they really going to do? If they know this thing is not going in the right direction, are you going to wait 6 more weeks or 5 more weeks? Or do you just, where does it get good?
Yeah.
What can he say to make it good? I say the players can only play the games. That's your deal, is to go play the games right
now.
That's
correct. That's right.
You have to play the games. They're not going to stop the games because there's dysfunction at the junction. You still got to play the games. And you as a player need to keep getting good yourself, because whether he's here or not, there's a bunch of you are still going to be here. And what do you want to look like if there's a new guy?
Right.
I mean that has to go on. But to get some of these questions out, I just don't know if that guy's the right guy. I mean, he was from banging heads and doing fingers, and you know, this is a hard job to grow into. You need to be a grown person when you get this job.
Baylor did practice on Sunday, which is good. They'll resume on-field activities, which is a good sign towards the COVID issues for the Bears on Saturday.
Texas needs that game.
Oh, for sure.
The players need that game.
They need.
Yeah, By the way, so does Baylor.
Well, Baylor's only played two. We know that, and we'll certainly drill down on it. Good football over the weekend. How about Mac Brown's team? Everybody, you know, Mac Brown's North Carolina team rose to number 5 in the polls this week, and then they lost to Florida State. That is a bad loss, because Florida State's not good this year.
I know. Did the kid really drop a pass at the end?
Well, no,
I didn't see it. I heard a kid drop one in his
built
hands.
I think it was 21-0. I mean, Florida State blew out to an early lead, and you're thinking, wow. And like Mac Brown teams typically do, they came all the way back, and they had a chance to go down and try to tie the game and get to overtime or win the game. They dropped 3 straight passes. There was a play down the sidelines, you know, with their young quarterback moving down the field. There was pass interference that wasn't called. Like the guy grabbed his jersey, but it was the undershirt. But it hit the kid in the hands down about the 10-yard line. Hit him in the hands.
I heard one on fourth down hit a kid right.
Well, so that was on
second down?
That was on second down.
Yeah.
It was a big play. Because at that point, you're trying to get a field goal to tie the game to go to overtime. But if he catches that ball at the 10-yard line, they have a chance to score a touchdown and win the game outright and get out of there with a victory in Tallahassee. He drops that. Okay, move on. Next drive, or next play, quarterback moves around and throws it across the middle, hits a guy in the hands, drops it. Would have been a first down. Then they go to fourth down, and instead of kicking a really long field goal, Mac Brown goes for it on fourth down. They dial up the right play, and he throws the ball to a kid who's wide open. Again, the quarterback moves and buys time, dropped it. 3 straight balls that hit players in the hands dropped, and North Carolina loses. They tumble out of the top 10. They were at number 5, take a bad loss, big loss in the ACC for them to a team they should have beaten and really didn't show up ready to play and had to try to furiously come back in that game. But North Carolina out. 4 SEC teams now into the top 10, including Texas A&M, Alabama, resoundingly over Georgia after trailing at halftime. They dominate, score 21 straight points, and win that game. And speaking of resoundingly, Clemson obliterated Georgia Tech 73-7.
Yeah, Texas A&M's, more so than anything, their offensive line stood out to me. They were kind of hungry in the run game. I mean, they were mowing guys down. They looked like they were ready to play.
That's a physical team.
It is.
Jimbo Fisher's got a physical group that has an identity, at least, right? They're not great. I don't think they're on par with the best teams in the country, but you see a trajectory that is good if you're an A&M fan.
They got a running back that can make you miss, too.
Well, and Mike Elko is one of the best defensive coordinators in the country, I think, and they're starting to show signs of being that. Now, Florida put a lot of points on the board against them, but Florida's a dynamic offense.
Mm-hmm.
But you feel like that defense, and they're becoming more physical at the line of scrimmage. They're into the top 10 as well. All right, we'll talk college football, good, bad, and ugly. NFL, good, bad, and ugly. The World Series is set, and it should be a doozy. The two best teams all the entire year in Major League Baseball are going to meet. The Dodgers and Rays, will start to preview that, which begins tomorrow night. Also, the end of the Astros season, as frustrating as it was, we'll diagnose that as well. It's B&E with you. Good, bad, and ugly Monday. Glad you're with us.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Incredible to sit back and watch college and pro football over the weekend. Also the baseball with no Longhorn game, no Cowboys game. Cowboys play tonight. How about Mac Jones and Alabama, Buck? You know that there have been 8 400-yard passing games in the history of Alabama? Mac Jones has 3 of them in the last 4 games this season.
He's real, real accurate. I know that.
8 all time. He's got 3 of them. Pretty good as they beat Georgia 21 straight points.
It helps when his receivers reach up and snatch the balls.
Yeah. How about Central Florida? Gained 798 yards against Memphis and lost. Ouch. Does that happen? And the Razorbacks of Arkansas have more SEC wins this season than in the past 3 years combined. How about their new coach?
I know. How about that dude?
Flew under the radar, came in as the offensive line coach from Georgia. And people thought, well, who is this guy? Well,
yep.
Arkansas is overachieving
maybe
more than any team in the country.
They sure look a different team than I've ever seen.
They beat Ole Miss down on Saturday, 33-21. So good football over the weekend. What can you say about Trevor Lawrence and Clemson? They scored 73 points. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is indeed the best player in college football. You know, normally the Heisman Trophy goes to a quarterback, but that's the best player in college football
Yeah, look for BYU to start moving up in the polls, too.
And this is amazing. You mentioned Mack Brown and his team dropping balls. Mack Brown's now 0-10 as a head coach against his alma mater.
Oh, that stinks.
He's never beaten Florida State. He played at Florida State.
It's the worst Florida State team you've ever seen.
I know, and he's never beaten them. He's 0-10. That's unbelievable. It's one of the craziest stats ever. And
SMU?
Yeah, SMU's undefeated for Sonny Dykes. They won on Friday night, beat Tulane.
Aren't they like in the top 10?
Yes, SMU is undefeated. They're finding ways. And South Carolina beat Auburn on Saturday. It's the first time South Carolina has beaten Auburn since 1933.
Guys, if you look at the top 25 now, there's no Longhorns. You ought to see the teams that are in front of, that are in the top 25 that you would go, what? What are they doing there?
I know. Well, there's Big Ten will start playing this week. You know, in that SMU game Friday night, Tulane converted a 3rd and 39.
Oh, yeah. That'll make you mad.
3rd and 39. They had a 42-yard pass.
Wow, that'll make you that.
And SMU still won the damn game.
That won't help you as a defensive coordinator, will it?
Isaiah Collier is our producer, hot or not, on a Monday. What's up, Zay? What do you have, TMZ?
What's happening, fellas? John Brown, Jacksonville Jaguars, fifth kicker this season, made his first kick out of his entire career. Not NFL career, not college career, his entire career. He never kicked a field goal in high school. He was a soccer player, was a walk-on at Louisville, but he was just a, you know, kickoff specialist and never kicked a PAT, anything. But kicked his first field goal this week.
He did? How far was it?
31 yards.
Now, so that dude's happy over the weekend, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Never got a chance to kick it. Never got a chance to kick it off?
Never.
Just a kickoff guy?
Sounds like you in high school and you kicked it into the concession stand.
Is that a kickoff guy?
Now, are we hot on this? Is this just Jacksonville being just sad and pathetic? Or is this, you know, we giving props to this guy for grinding it out?
Props, man.
Props, man.
Jacksonville is pretty sad.
Yeah, they are sad, but he grinding it out, get a chance to kick a field goal.
I'm down with that.
I'm not down with Baker Moneymaker, that's for sure.
Got benched. Baker got benched.
He didn't really get benched. They don't bench Moneymaker.
Baker got benched.
They were trying to blame his injuries. It was more like his performance to me.
Coach's decision.
Was he scrambling out the right side again? Did they have him? Did that Pittsburgh defense make him scramble to the right?
I'm trying to decide who is more impressive, undefeated Tennessee or undefeated Pittsburgh. And they'll play this weekend.
That's a good game.
That'll be a really good game. What else, say?
Derrick Henry. Well, actually, Chris Johnson, y'all remember
CJ Speedster?
Yeah, 2K.
Yeah.
He went on to Twitter to say the Tennessee Titans have the best running backs of all time throughout the whole entire franchise. He included Earl Campbell, Eddie George, himself, and with what Derrick Henry's done over the past 2 weeks.
He ought to slow down his role a little bit, maybe stay in his lane.
No, you don't think so?
Not quite right now, not yet. I know the backup number 28 is pretty damn good, too. That guy can go. He can get it cranked up.
Hold on. Time out. CJ2K.
He's saying of all time, of all the running
George,
backs.
Eddie George.
/ Tennessee all-time running backs. Number one, Earl Campbell, period. End of conversation.
Number two, Eddie George.
Well, he wasn't comparing those guys. He was comparing all of them to every other franchise in the rest of the league.
Oh, like Jim Brown?
Well,
Walter Payton?
It would be
a pair.
The Bears
a pair.
Franchise. So,
not hot on that.
Walter Payton.
I think Derrick Henry has, like, if you combine the Oilers, Tennessee together, Derrick Henry has a chance to be the second best running back in the history of that franchise.
Sure.
Behind Earl Campbell.
I agree. I just think they were trying to say that Tennessee has the best running backs of all time out of any franchise, which include Earl Campbell, Derrick Henry, Chris Johnson, Eddie
George. See the subtle play, though? Give Mike Vrabel some credit. You know, Mike Vrabel was in Houston with Bill O'Brien. Seems like Houston kept the wrong guy. Vrabel yesterday, when Houston was driving for a touchdown that put them ahead by 7 points, should have been eight, he instructed his cornerback to jump off sides to save 40 seconds on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really shrewd, smart play. Like, Houston had second and one, and they were going to convert the first down. Without a timeout, he instructed his guy to go ahead and jump off sides, stop the clock, don't let 40 seconds run off before they go for it. And that ended up being the time they needed to go back down and score the touchdown to tie the game, put it in overtime.
By the way, why didn't they let them score quicker? The Texans, remember, didn't they go all the way to third down or fourth down?
Yeah.
Why didn't they all fall down and let them score and get the ball back?
Fair question. And why did Romeo Crennel go for
two?
Why did he go for two? What the hell was that for? All right, we'll be back. B&E on the Horn. Hot or not, plus good, bad, and ugly on a Monday. Glad you are with us. Hope you had a great weekend. We're recapping with you here on the show of the people, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.